Right now, though, we're going to bring to these microphones Ken Timmerman. Ken, out of the Washington, D.C. area, looks at geopolitical activities for us all over the world. And Ken, let me get to it. I got about six or seven items. So I want to talk to you about what has been written up in one of the magazines coming out of Israel. Its title is Apocalyptic Threats Cannot Be Hoped Away. And Iran needs to have its development of a nuclear weapon of mass destruction stopped. Now, that's a bit philosophical, but indeed, Prime Minister Netanyahu saying he is not going to shy back from attacking this nuclear situation there in Iran, even with their new president. Apocalyptic activities could really take place, could they not?
Well, what's happening that's extremely interesting and troubling, Jimmy, is that you have the election of a new president in Iran, who I call him the smiling mullah, who continues to develop nuclear weapons, who continues to work with Syria to support the Syrian regime and the civil war there, that continues to support Hezbollah and terrorist groups around the world, and yet the United States seems to think that that's okay. President Obama has dropped his guard. He's been beguiled by the smile of this mullah in Tehran. And instead of increasing pressure, which is what we always need to do, he is talking about decreasing pressure, dropping sanctions. 2 weeks ago, there was talk in Washington about opening a direct flight between Tehran and New York with either Delta Airlines or Iran Air. And, these are things that concessions that the Obama administration has shown its willingness to make to Tehran without absolutely anything in exchange. And that's the real troubling point here. Prime Minister Netanyahu has pointed out that the Iranians continue to enrich uranium. They're about 50 or 60 kilograms away from the amount that they would need of 20% enriched uranium to make the first nuclear warhead. And Netanyahu has also made it clear in an interview with CBS News last week that he's not going to sit on his hands. He's not going to wait for President Obama. If he sees that Iran crosses this red line of having enough nuclear material for a bomb, Israel will strike militarily. So that's what we're facing right now.
And at the same time, and I love the phrase, smiling mullah, at the same time, Iran's new president, Rouhani, has affirmed the support for Syria and Hezbollah and that civil war situation there in Syria.
Well, that's right. If anyone was hoping for a change of policy from Tehran because of this election, they should think again, and they should listen to what Rouhani, the new president, is saying. Remember, this is the man who was criticized by Ahmadinejad in 2005. Rouhani was the nuclear negotiator for Iran at that time. And Ahmadinejad said, well, you've been too soft with the West. You've been negotiating with the European Union for 3 years to get sanctions lifted, and you shouldn't have made any concessions to them. And Rouhani kind of turned around and laughed, and he did all this on public television in state-run television in Iran. And he said, hey, you know, I didn't make any concessions to the Europeans. We were able to complete our nuclear conversion facility when they dropped the sanctions. So this is a very canny operator. He is very canny. He knows what he's doing. He knows how to play us. And in the United States, at least, the president is being played.
Yes, I would believe that is exactly the case. Let me stay on Syria just for a moment. Great Britain has abandoned their plans to arm the Syrian rebels, but the United States, are they seemingly moving in that direction or not?
Well, there are problems in Congress as people kind of wake up to what's going on inside the rebel camp. It's now pretty much split into two or three, actually, warring factions, three if you count the Kurds, in addition to the Islamists and the Free Syrian Army. Last week, the Islamists murdered two of the leaders of the Free Syrian Army and have threatened to do a lot more. And this is going to be, frankly, an open war inside the rebel camp at the same time that Assad, the Syrian president, and his allies, Hezbollah, Iran, and Russia, have solidified their alliance. So the opposition is fragmented, fighting amongst itself, and the Syrian government is solid. So in that context, Britain is taking a second look at their earlier, earlier desire to arm the rebels, and they're beginning to wonder that now just might not be the time. They're afraid that the weapons will fall into the hand of the Islamists.
Yes, and should not the rest of the world leaders do similar things as the British leaders?
Well, indeed, and I think that's what you're going to see in the U.S. Congress is people start to look more closely at what's happening or what's been happening these past 2 weeks inside the rebel camp. I think they're going to have second thoughts. But, you know, it's not as if we haven't been arming the rebels already. See, that's something people seem to forget. The United States, through countries such as Qatar, and in tandem with countries like Saudi Arabia and Jordan, we have been arming the rebels for the past 2 years. It's just we haven't been doing it directly. President Obama said a couple of weeks ago he now wants to do it directly, but I think my guess is that Congress is going to put the brakes on this.
What's wrong? Why is Saudi Arabia and some of these other countries that you mentioned in the Middle East getting on the side of the rebels over Bashar Assad? Is it because of their connection with Iran and Hezbollah?
It's very interesting, isn't it? The Saudis have two reasons. One, Assad has been a secular leader, and the rebels have been Islamists. Various shades of Islamists. The Free Syrian Army is not a jihadi Islamist group, but they're, you know, close to the Muslim Brotherhood nevertheless. And then, of course, there's the Iran factor, which you mentioned. And Bashar al-Assad is very closely allied to the Iranians, and the Saudis are terrified of Iran. They're terrified of Iran getting a nuclear weapon. They're terrified of Iran stirring up trouble inside Saudi Arabia among their own Shiite Muslim populations. They're terrified of this young, vibrant, hungry Iranian horde sweeping across the Gulf and stealing their wealth.
You know, last week you brought to our attention, and I actually think you, in my insight, you were the first one to bring this to my attention, that the rebels that are going to try to do everything they possibly can to bring down Bashar Assad and his government there in Syria, they're dividing up, and there's almost a second front for a civil war between them, between the Islamists and the Free Syrian Army. Could this give the advantage to Bashar Assad, and he come out the victor ultimately in this civil war?
Well, I think that's what a lot of people are looking at right now, is as the opposition becomes more fragmented and they're fighting amongst themselves, you have in Britain the people close to the Prime Minister David Cameron who had wanted to arm the rebels, who had asked Parliament to arm the rebels, and now they're saying we're going to back off from that. We're not going to do it. We see Assad staying in power for several years. And that's really what you're looking at now. The West has been dithering. We've been on the sidelines. We've been allowing other countries to do the arms dealing and the training for us instead of getting in there and doing it ourselves, if that had been our intention and our goal. And the result now is that the rebels are fragmented. It's a ragtag group. They don't have the heavy weaponry they need. They don't have the training they need. And they're fighting amongst themselves. And they're opposed. Their opponents, the Syrian government, is increasingly, their morale is high. They're getting fresh weapons from Russia and new support from Hezbollah in Iran.
The Russian military staging the biggest war games since the Soviet times. What does this mean?
Very interesting. Putin has been worried that his conventional military forces are not up to snuff. They got their noses bloodied pretty badly in Georgia a couple of years ago. So over the past couple of months, he's ordered a series of snap war games. This is very unusual. This latest one is taking place this week, and some of the local commanders didn't have any warning whatsoever before they got the orders to start moving their troops, in some cases 3,000 kilometers away. So this is Putin stretching his muscles, testing his military machine, and he will make corrections as a result of these exercises.
Ken Timmerman out of the Washington, D.C. area. He's the man who covers geopolitical activities across the world, and each week we have a potpourri of these events unfolding. We'd like to get the real details behind the headlines so we can know what is actually going on, and that's the reason that when we can, we get a hold of Ken Timmerman. Ken, thank you so very much. Have a great week. We'll talk again next week.
Thank you, Jimmy. God bless.